And today we're talking about the shine part, and that's the sharing of our faith. Once we have that foundation laid and we've grown in the Lord, now how do we go out and we share that faith? And when it comes to sharing our faith, every person probably has a different opinion about how to share their faith or how we should share our faith. Some people hand out tracts and stand on street corners, and you've probably seen those people. And there's a great example, you know, even in our, in the Messianic movement or in Messianic Judaism, we have various different camps that have all different levels of observance. Some congregations are very much on the, what I would call the liberal side. There's virtually no Hebrew or chanting. Some congregations lean towards the Orthodox side, where there's a lot of Hebrew and a lot of chanting. And but there's different even para-Messianic organizations, if I could call it that. And we look at something like Jews for Jesus, which everybody knows about Jews for Jesus. Jews for Jesus is one of those organizations where they're the hand out the tract, stand on the street corner, and proclaim the Lord in a very powerful and in-your-face way. In fact, if you go to their website and you look at their vision, the vision for Jews for Jesus is, and I quote, "We exist to make the Messiahship of Yeshua, of Jesus, an unavoidable issue to our Jewish people worldwide." So they're out there in the forefront sharing their faith on the street corners in San Francisco and New York City and Miami and all these big cities where there's large Jewish populations. But then there's the other side. There's the other extreme of the thought process about how do we share our faith. Some people say, don't share your faith. Everybody needs to come to their own conclusion. That's on the other extreme. But then there's every variable in between. Whether you don't stand on, whether you stand on street corners and proclaim it, or whether you don't share it at all, unless you're asked about it maybe, everybody has their own idea of how to share faith. So what I wanted to do today is let's open up the scriptures. Let's open up the Word of God, and let's see what the Word of God says about sharing our faith, about shining for the Lord. Because that should be our yardstick. Not what is our culture or what is proper to do or whatever, but what does the Lord say? What does the Word of God say? Because the Bible is our handbook. And too often, I think, as believers, as followers of Yeshua, and as a movement, we, and as a body of Messiah, we don't look to the Lord and to the Bible. What we do is we look out into the world, and maybe we imitate things in the world. And while that's not all bad all the time, it's bad when we talk about sharing our faith. So we look for the world for answers and look for the world about how to do things. We should be really looking at the scriptures. And if we put up on the screen our little snippet, our description of the shine icon, it's this. Once we have experienced His love and grown in our walk with Him, we can go out and share the message of Yeshua with others. We are to be a Karen Or, a ray of light to our community. And there's a couple of scripture verses there. Karen Or, literally translated from the Hebrew, means ray of light. We're to be a ray of light to the community here in Greater Savannah, Georgia. To the Jewish community in Savannah. There's a large Jewish community here in Savannah, traditional Jewish community. And to the non-Jewish people here in Savannah. We have a very big metro population here. And we have a lot of people that are hungry and that are hurting. We talked about hurting earlier. So how do we share our faith? What does the scripture say about sharing our faith with these people? Well, number one, we have to go back to the perennial scripture. Let's turn to Matthew 28, verse 19. These are Yeshua's words. When Yeshua was finishing up his earthly ministry before he went and ascended to heaven, this is what he said to his disciples. This is what he said to the people. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the one verse, I think, that gives us that mandate and that charge for going out and sharing our faith with others. This is what Yeshua says. This is straight from His mouth and His words. We have the secret to eternal life. You know, the world doesn't have it. The gurus that talk about self-help in their books, and the people on TV, and all the strategists in the world, and all the business people in the world, they don't have what we have. We have the secret to eternal life, and that is we have Yeshua. We have that understanding. We have the scripture. We have the words of God Himself. And we don't want it to be a secret. We don't want to just hide what we have. And as that one extreme was, we don't want to just not share our faith because we have what the world needs and everybody needs it. Everyone needs it in the world. We have been commanded by Yeshua to go out and make disciples. So let's look at another scripture, Acts 1:8. Another powerful scripture. This is just after Yeshua ascended to heaven and the disciples were starting this fledgling set of congregations in this movement of God called the Way. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Remember, when Yeshua was talking, he was talking in Jerusalem, center of the world, the Near East. And what he said was, go out and make disciples of all nations. And what it says here is, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then in all Judea. Judea was the area around Jerusalem that Jerusalem, the city, was in. And Samaria, which was the next region up in Israel, and to the end of the earth. It goes out. And we read scriptures that says the word of the Lord goes out in Isaiah from Jerusalem. The word of the Lord goes out from Jerusalem to all the nations. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you so that you can go and do all these things. Now, on our first service a few weeks ago, I gave a message on transformation. And all of our messages are on our website. You can check them out. But the concept here with the transformation was at this very time when Yeshua had ascended, the disciples were waiting for that power. And they got it. They received the Holy Spirit. They received the tongues of fire that came upon them. And that was the power that they needed that Acts 1:8 talks about to go out, because they had literally the Lord inside of them, and they had the Comforter and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit inside of them. We today have the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit inside of us, just as the disciples did. If we've accepted Yeshua into our hearts, if he's our Lord and Savior, if we are a follower of Yeshua, we have that same power to then go out and to share our faith with other people here in Savannah, Georgia, and then beyond. This is the gift that we have. And God is calling us today and every day. Part of our mandate, part of our calling, is to be his witness, to testify that he is God, to testify that he is the one who created the world and the one who knows every hair on our heads, to testify that we are broken and we need a healer, and he is the healer. Amen. So we need to talk about that, being a good witness, being a good testifier of our faith. Because how do we do that? Because if you're like me, and I know you are, many people don't feel qualified to share the gospel. Have you ever felt totally qualified all the time to share the gospel, the good news? I have not. Okay, there's days that I struggle. There's days that I say, man, I cannot possibly share my faith out there. And you know, it gets to be difficult because you let the weight of the world come upon you, and what are they going to say? What are they going to think? You get all these things, but you don't even feel qualified. You're not good enough. Oh, I haven't been a believer long enough. I've only been a believer for 5 years, or I've only been a believer for 10 years. I haven't studied the scripture enough. I don't have enough knowledge to be able to go and share my faith. But the reality is, no matter how long you've been a believer, no matter how much scripture you know, no one is good enough to share their faith all the time. He is good enough, but we're not good enough. Let's look at another scripture, Romans 3:23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. We all have sinned and fallen short. We all fall short every single day. You know, it's not that you go out there, you go get ready on the street corner to proclaim the word of the Lord, and you know, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're just feeling the presence. I mean, that can happen, but a lot of times it doesn't. And if you think that I get up here every week and I feel this massive presence of God and I'm just ready and, you know, to just spring forth and preach the word, you know, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like, oh boy, I don't feel qualified to get up here and speak to you guys. Some of you have been a believer longer than I have, probably. Some of you have been involved in ministries that I could not even attempt to get started to be involved in right now. So I'm saying the same thing about myself. I don't feel qualified. Who am I, God? But this is what he says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, but we're justified by his grace, and that's a gift to us. The truth is, we do not measure up, but, and there's a big but there, that can't be an excuse for not going out and sharing our faith with others. However, that cannot be an excuse for not going out and sharing our faith with other people just because we don't feel qualified, because he is qualified. And as Acts 1:8 says, we will receive power. We'll receive power, and we'll have everything we need to do it. So being a good witness doesn't mean we have to be perfect. Being a good witness, and this is important, means we have to be ready to be used by the Lord. So let me say that again. Being a good witness doesn't mean we have to be perfect and perfectly, you know, all set to go. Being a good witness means we have to be ready. Just ready to be used by God. It's not us doing it. It's God doing it. We're the go-between. You know, we're the ones that he's just going to use. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're part of that body. And if we just get out of the way and get our issues and our problems out of the way, he can move through us and work. But we have to be ready, ready to be used. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Be ready in season and out of season. Even if you don't feel ready, be ready to be used in season and out of season. You never know when you're going to share the Lord. We think we're all ready to go, and you know, the times that we're all ready to go, we get out there, quote unquote, on the street corner, and we're ready to go, and maybe God doesn't send people. But it's those times when we're not thinking we're ready, when we're in the grocery store, or when we've had a really bad day, and somebody really upset us, and then all of a sudden we come in contact with somebody to share our faith. Those are the times. So don't feel like I have to be ready. I have to have everything, you know, I have to have my good suit on, and I have to have my Bible out and have to, no, be ready to be used is what it means. Be ready to be used by God. And we have a commandment from Yeshua to share and not hide our gift. There's a great scripture that talks about this in Matthew 5:14-16. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we are the light of the world. We have that light inside of us, that Karanor, that ray of light. And a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, we can't just hide our faith. We can't put it under, as it says here, under a basket. Because that's the whole point, is to let our faith shine. And if we put it under a basket, we can't share that gift with other people. We can't give other people the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord like we heard the word of the Lord. We have to let our light shine so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Gifts are meant to be enjoyed and shared. We have such a gift. We have eternal life. That's the greatest gift we could ever have. These are all analogies of shining, of letting your light shine so that we can share our faith. So you could say, that's great, Rabbi, I got it. That's wonderful. But how do I do that? Because it's intimidating, or I've never done it before, or I'm not even sure how to start talking to people about the Lord. Well, you're in luck today, because I have some ways that I wrote down, ways to share our faith, practical ways, not these high and pious ways that, okay, let's all dig into our scriptures and read all these wonderful things. These are practical ways that we have today to share our faith. Easy ways. We just have to think through it. But many people, me included sometimes, get very intimidated about sharing our faith. It's very intimidating, especially when you encounter people that don't want to hear it. Especially when you encounter people that aren't like totally receptive. It's wonderful to share your faith. If every time you share it, everybody's like, oh, please tell me more. Let me sit at your feet for 5 hours and listen. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes, especially in Jewish ministry, we get to sharing our faith with other Jewish people, and they don't want to hear it. It is like the worst thing we could have told them. It is like, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. You're telling me something wrong that my rabbis told me. I can't handle this. I mean, sometimes it's very difficult to share our faith with our people. And you say, I'm not a missionary. I haven't been trained for this. You know, people train for this. They go to like teen missions, or they go to mission trips to Africa, and they're totally like equipped to do this. And I'm not a missionary. I don't even know what to say. I'm not an evangelist. I don't like to talk to people. I don't like to get up in front of people. That's not my gifting. Don't say that's not your gifting, because Yeshua told us we are to proclaim our faith to everybody. Everybody has this gifting within them to share their faith. We don't have to be Bible theologians to share our faith. I'm certainly not a total Bible theologian, have my PhD, and can recite scriptures and all this good stuff and references here and there. The truth is, every one of us can share our faith based on where we're at. You don't have to be on the mission fields of Africa. You can be here right in Savannah and encounter people and opportunities to share your faith. So number one, share your faith out of a personal or your personal experience. That's a great practical way to share your faith. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Now, I love the Bible because the Bible is true all the time, not just some of the time, not just most of the time, but all the time. And when the Bible speaks, we need to take note of some of these things. And sometimes we gloss through things. Oh, I've read that 50 times. And your brain kind of goes on autopilot and you kind of just gloss over. Have you ever read something before and you're like, what did I just read? And then you just read it 3 or 4 or 5 times and you still don't know what you just read. You have to slow down and you have to think through it. And it could be something you have read literally hundreds of times, but you need to stop and just think for a minute. In Acts 4:20, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You can't proclaim something you don't know. You have to talk out of what you know. If you have experienced that life-changing event, if you have experienced that joy, that peace of the Lord, that's what you can talk about. Relate it to your own personal experience. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. This is our personal experience. You know, the disciples, the apostles, they had something very special. They physically were there with Yeshua. They walked with him. You know, they touched the sides of his body, knowing that when he had been, you know, crucified, and the doubting Thomas, you know, he had to touch Yeshua to see that. But they actually physically heard his voice, walked with him, and sat under his feet for 3.5 years. That's pretty awesome. So they had a personal experience for 3.5 years. This wasn't a chance encounter for like a couple of hours. They didn't go see him at the convention center. You know, oh, Yeshua's going to speak. And then they came back. Oh, I saw Yeshua. They were there for 3.5 years with Yeshua. They really knew Yeshua. They had such an experience, a personal experience. And that was what they needed to start this movement, this move of God. Well, we haven't been with Yeshua. Many of us, most of us, have not had a personal encounter with Yeshua. And I've heard stories of people that they were like right there in their bedroom, and then all of a sudden Yeshua appeared. And that's pretty awesome. But that didn't happen for me, and it probably didn't happen for you, most likely. But we still have experienced the peace of the Lord. We've experienced that Ruach HaKodesh on us. We have experienced maybe even the love of God through another. Somebody that brought us to our faith. We've experienced reading the Word, praying, coming to service and praising and worshiping God and having that experience. That's what we need to talk out of. That's the passion. That's what we need to talk out of and understand to share. We are a witness. We talked about being a witness. The definition of a witness is, quote unquote, to see, hear, or know by personal presence and perception. Say that again. The definition of a witness is to see, to hear, or to know by personal presence or perception. So when we are to be Yeshua's witnesses, it's because we have had a personal experience with Yeshua, and we are to share that. That's pretty awesome. Let's look at Philippians 4:9. This is the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul. He was an early apostle, disciple of Yeshua. He didn't know Yeshua personally, but few years after Yeshua ascended, he became a believer, and he just, probably more than anybody else, he went out and he spread that word. He shined for the Lord. He shared his faith. And this is Paul talking, Rav Shaul talking to the Philippian congregation. Philippians 4:9. What you have heard and received and heard and seen in me, meaning Paul, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So you could know Yeshua personally and then go out and share your faith, but very few did that. Then what happened? They shared their faith with other people. So the next people in the line that they heard and believed, they didn't experience Yeshua personally, but they experienced that teacher personally, that Paul or that Peter or that Yaakov, Jacob, those first apostles and disciples. So they had the personal experience of hearing from them. And then the next people down the chain, right? They had the personal experience of learning from whoever taught them, and on and on and on. So what Paul is saying here is, what you have received and heard in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. You know, to share our faith, we have to be taught God's love and God's word first. We have to experience God's love in order to be effective and share the gospel. Many people can be counterfeit or try to share the love of the Lord and not really be a believer, and not really have had that personal experience. But it lacks the power, Acts 1:8. It lacks the personal presence. It lacks the testimony that we need to have. You have to be able to know God and experience his love and have that life-changing event where you're a follower of Yeshua now to be able to effectively share your faith. How can you be convincing about the love of God unless you have experienced the love of God? And we get passionate about the things we have felt. You know, there's things that I really feel deeply about, you know, whether it's a hobby or what I do for a living or, you know, my family, because I've experienced it and I'm passionate about it. I know it. I've felt it. And it's more interesting for people. It's more interesting for people to hear about us or about the Lord through a passionate person than by them to just get a bunch of information from us. You know, it's more effective sometimes for you who maybe doesn't only know but a handful of scripture verses, but have the power of the Lord and the love of the Lord and the passion of the Lord behind you, than some Bible theologian from some seminary somewhere that is so dry and boring. It's like, you know, have you ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Bueller, you know, Ben Stein, nice Jewish guy. He's built a career on that one word, Bueller. You know, we don't want to be like that guy that is so dry and doesn't have passion. He could know all the scriptures, be able to recite every single thing, have taken years of theology and lessons. But if he doesn't have that passion, that power, that personal experience with Yeshua, he's not going to be convincing. Number two, we need to, when we share our faith, we need to talk where they're at. When we're talking with somebody, we need to talk where they're at. Don't use big old words and phrases and try to sound all boastful and like you're important. You know, usually when you're coming up with meeting with people, it's just everyday people, just like you. But we need to be discerning and have wisdom, because we can't just go up to somebody and not even know anything about them and then just start preaching the word of God to them. They're not even going to know what to do with it. Yeshua spoke directly to each person where they were at. So we got to go back to our example, right? Our perfect example, which was Yeshua. Yeshua was our perfect example for everything. He taught us how to think. He taught us how to believe in the Lord. He taught us how to share our faith. What Yeshua did in his earthly ministry is very important to talk about for a minute, because Yeshua assessed where everybody was at before he even saw them. And that's partly because he was God and he had that innate ability, but he did everything by example to teach us. And what he did was, he would come to somebody and he would see where they were at. He would discern and understand. When he talked to the woman at the well, he didn't come to her with a bunch of, "Oh, thus saith the Lord," and this and that and the other. He talked to her out of her personal experience where she was at. When he talked to the rich young man, there's a parable of the rich young man, and he knew all the things. He had done all the things. And Yeshua assessed where he was. And he said, "You know, you haven't done one thing. You haven't gone and give all your things to the poor." And then the man went away. He couldn't follow Yeshua because that was the one thing he didn't want to do. Yeshua knew how to just pierce right into the heart of everybody and assess where they were at. He spoke to people plainly when they needed to be spoken to plainly. He spoke gently to children when they needed to be spoken to. When he saw the Pharisees and what they were doing, he did not have a lot of patience. He assessed the situation wherever it was, and he used wisdom and discernment to speak and share with people. These are also words from the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul. 1 Corinthians, we're going to read chapter 9, verse 19, and then 22, second part of 22 and 23. So 19 and 22b and 23 of 1 Corinthians. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Let's think about the Apostle Paul for a minute. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, it says, from the tribe of Benjamin. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who is a noted member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council at that time. He knew he could run circles around the other disciples. The other disciples were mere fishermen, right? Probably didn't have any seminary, quote-unquote, experience. You know, back in the day, you had to sit under the feet of a rabbi, a noted rabbi, and that was kind of your tutorial, your education. They didn't have that. Paul did. Apostle Paul did. He knew so much scripture. He knew all of the, you know, what the rabbi said about this and what the rabbi said about that. But you know what? He was called to the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. How many Gentiles back 2,000 years ago knew all that? None of them. So he didn't come and talk to them that way. He didn't say, well, let me quote my teacher Gamaliel when I tell you this. No, he assessed where they were at. He made himself like them. He says, I made myself as a servant to all that I might win more of them. He assessed where they were at. He spoke to them directly on their level. And by doing that, he was most effective. So when we share with people, we need to think, what's the most effective way to reach them? Is it with all these words and scriptures? Or was it maybe just talking about our life? You can't quote scripture to somebody who doesn't believe the Bible is God's word. They're not going to listen. Okay, that's great for you, but I don't believe the Bible is what they would say. So how can you effectively minister to somebody when they don't even believe the Bible? You start in other ways. You share with them. People ultimately come to know the Lord, ultimately, based on a need, or a feeling that they can't do it, or a feeling that God is bigger than them, or they've tried, or they have an addiction that they have to break. That's how people come to the Lord, out of a sense of whatever, loneliness, isolation, problems in their lives. Because when everything's going great for you, you don't need the Lord, right? But when you're having issues in your life, and everybody has issues, that's when you need the Lord. So people are not going to receive it if you just start saying, well, let's open up our Bible here and talk, if they don't believe in the Bible. You have to start with a common ground and talk where they're at so they will get it. And the word, the buzzword today in the body is make it relevant. And that's it's not a dirty word. I like the word relevant. But you know what's going on in the body of Messiah in many churches, and we have all these mega churches popping up in the country. There's, I don't even know how many mega churches. Mega church is defined as a congregation of 2,000 or more people. And I'm not against mega churches. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is they are trying to reach people that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God necessarily. And there is now mega churches solely with a focus of reaching what they call the unchurched. The unchurched are people that are disillusioned with the church or have never been to church before, never grown up. Because in this generation of millennials and Generation Y, it's not like it was generations ago where you at least go where your parents went. You know, if you were Jewish, you went to synagogue, you had your bar bat mitzvah, at least. But, you know, as we got more and more secular as a country, basically, and we tended to assimilate a little bit more here and there, all of us, Jew and Gentile, we don't have that situation anymore. You could have a person whose parents maybe went to church, but they never set foot in church. So they have no idea. They're what's called the unchurched. So what these churches are doing in a good way is they're looking at people that have no foundation. I mean, most of us who grew up in the synagogues and the church, we know the story about Noah's Ark. We know the story about Abraham sacrificing Isaac, right? We've heard it. We read the little children's Bible. We went to Sunday school or went to Hebrew school, we at least know the stories. People don't know the stories today. You got to start like at the beginning with people. You got to make it relevant for people where they're at. There is no, I think, greater example of this when we talk about success in the body of Messiah than the Calvary Chapel movement. And I have a lot of dear friends that are Calvary Chapel people. I, as I mentioned, a person that last week I talked about Alaska, and one of my friends went to Alaska. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor. And Calvary Chapel, back in the 60s, they started out in a town off of the Pacific Ocean called the Costa Mesa, like by Los Angeles. And Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, in the 60s in California, do you think he went out there with a suit? Do you think he went out there on the beach with his Bible and started preaching to them the Word of God like that? No, he didn't. He probably – I don't know what he wore, but it was probably flip-flops and shorts. He looked and he saw 60s California for what it was. It was what it was. And he was relevant to them, to hippies and surfers. That's the type of people in this – and we're talking about the 60s here. You don't water down the message, but you make it impactful where people are at. So you take it and you package it in a way that's more relevant for people. So what Chuck Smith did was he would go out to the hippies and the surfers, and he made the Word of God relevant. And then you say, well, look, there's a danger there to water it down. And yes, there's a danger. You got to be careful. But let me tell you, if you know anything about Calvary Chapel, they preach the Word of God. I mean, they go line by line by line through the Scriptures. And most people from Calvary Chapel know their Bible. Okay? And that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? It was hippies. It was surfers. It was the people that nobody else thought or nobody else wanted in church, quote unquote. But Chuck Smith saw that need. And he went to them, to those unchurched people. And there's so many people that came out of that initial Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa that now have started Calvary Chapels throughout the world. And they're pastors, and they're just sharing God's love in such an impactful way and reaching just literally millions of people because of what happened there. Number three, we need to be sensitive when we share our faith. Sensitive. Many people, if you're like me, and most of, pretty much I think everybody's like this, we need time sometimes to think through what we're being told. It's very unusual for somebody, unless they're ready, unless God's been working on them, for you to come up to somebody and boom, they just accept the Lord. I mean, it happens. It happens probably because the seeds have been sown and watered before that. And they're ready and they're primed. See, because we all have different things. Some people lay the seeds down, meaning they share the word of the Lord with people. Some people water it. Maybe they have a relationship with somebody. They've been talking about the Lord to them for a while. And then some people are kind of the reapers. You know, they reap what other people have sown. And they see those fruits happening and people coming to the Lord. But most people don't really come right away. They need time. I mean, there are stories of people, especially Jewish people, it takes years and years for them to come to the Lord. And so people need time to think through questions of faith, think through questions of beliefs. They may have believed something else for all of their life. They may have been a Hindu. They may have been a Muslim. They may have been an atheist. And, you know, and the older you get, the more ingrained you are in whatever you believe or don't believe. So it's harder, and you have to really kind of like change your beliefs and your thoughts, and it doesn't happen right away. And we have to be sensitive to people that they have issues, they have baggage, maybe they've had bad experience with other believers, and we have to be sensitive to that. We can't think that we're going to win people for the Lord on the spot all the time. It's just not realistic. It takes time to do anything right, and there has to be. It's like good wine, right? Or a good cheese. The longer you let it go, it's better, right? It's better. You know, they have the wine vats out in Napa Valley and in France and all these places. And the longer you let the wine stay in there and, you know, kind of, I don't even know the right words. I'm not a wine person. But the longer you let the wine do what it's doing in those wine vats, the better the wine's going to be. And we need to give people time. It's got to marinate, so to speak, a little bit. Because remember, this is probably, well, it is, the most biggest major decision in people's lives is to accept Yeshua. So we can't just say, well, come on, we just shared our faith and They didn't believe. They didn't accept it. What's going on? What's wrong with them? Well, we got to break through a lot of baggage and a lot of things that are in the way there. And most of the time, this is really true, we don't, when we see people, when we interact with people, whether it's on the street, whether it's friends, whether it's family, there are certain things about them that we can't see from the outside. You know, the saying is, don't judge a book by its cover. When you're talking with somebody and you see how they react to you, or when you're dealing with somebody and they're on the face of it, they don't appear to be listening, that is never a sign of really what's going on inside. We can we're Americans. We can fake it. We know exactly how to fake how we're really feeling. We can put on airs. We can put on our face or whatever. We can be fake like the best of them. But typically, people are bubbly and happy on the outside. They know how to put that on. But on the inside, they're dying. And on the inside, they're hurting. They're broken. But they can't. Most people don't show that on the outside. Some people are open books, quote unquote, but a lot of people are not. And when you speak to people and you think, man, I'm not getting through to them and I'm getting discouraged, don't be discouraged, because people are listening. You know, I was a youth leader for many years, many, many years. And I'll never forget the first youth group that I was the youth leader of. It was when I was in college in Florida. And I was, you know, real excited, real passionate. Had a small group of people at the congregation. I was sharing with the youth and working with them. And then I was getting ready to graduate, so I was finished. And, man, it just didn't seem like a lot of them were getting it. And there was this one girl that, I mean, she's probably 15, 16, and she gave me the most problems. I mean, it was just like attitude, I don't want to hear it, or just really just didn't seem interested. And I'll never forget when I finished that stint as a youth leader there, when I was getting ready to graduate and I was saying goodbye to all the kids. Do you know who the only person was that came up and said thank you to me? It was that girl. And I would never have thought that it would have been her. I would have thought it was the other five people that seemed like they were having a great time and God was really moving in their lives, but it was the one person who I thought, I'm not getting through to that person. But it was because I didn't really see what was going on the inside. On the outside, she was all put together and but on the inside, she was taken away. And you can never judge a book by its cover when it comes to that. You have to let the Lord deal with it, and don't be discouraged. If people reject what you're saying, don't be discouraged. They're listening. They're listening. Be sensitive to people. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We are talking about people here. We are talking about souls here. This isn't like, hey, do you want a coupon to buy a burger? You know, this is like, we're sharing the Lord with them. We're sharing the most important thing in the world, the most important decision. And you know what? We need to let our speech be gracious. We need to be sensitive to where they're at. Season with salt so that you may know how to answer each person. People don't like it. I think everybody doesn't like it when people yell at them or when people are harsh to them. You know, you have the whole analogy of the Bible thumpers. You're going to hell if you don't believe in, you know, Jesus or whatever. That is not the approach to take with people. People don't receive from that angle. But what does Scripture say? Again, we go back to Scripture. Let your speech be gracious. Be gracious to them. You know, be loving. Don't be harsh. There's a lot of love in the New Testament and the Old Testament. There's a lot of love in the Bible, quote unquote. There's not a lot of harsh in the Bible. We need to be careful. We need to be loving towards people. Because this is not something to take lightly, and it's not something to get upset about. Be sensitive, use wisdom, use discernment, and allow the Lord to lead you in the conversation with people. Here's another big one. Don't worry about what to say. You can say, oh, I'm sensitive all I can be. I'm meeting people where they're at, but I just don't know what to say. I mean, I don't have that theological background. I'm not well-versed in the Scriptures. I have a hard time. You know, some people have a hard time remembering Scripture. Some people have a hard time memorizing anything. I'm one of these people where I actually can remember the Scripture verse and the Scripture. But, and that's That's a trait I have. I mean, but some people don't. Some people cannot remember. What was that scripture? Something about this. But don't worry. Don't worry about what to say. But you know what? Sharing our faith can be, for some people, almost paralyzing. You know, it's like when people have to get up in front of other people and speak. You know, you get the stage fright. You don't know what to say. Sometimes, you know, when you get up in front of people, let alone a big audience, and you've got the spotlight on you and the microphone's there and it's feeding back, and you're like, and you just get paralyzed, right? And that can be how people sometimes can feel when they're sharing their faith. If they're not used to it, if they say, I don't know what to say. What if I mess up? You get yourself all psyched up too. You can say, this is the most important decision I'll ever make. I don't want to screw this up. What if I'm a bad witness to them? What if blah, 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 blah. And what if I screw this up? This is my one chance. And you get so crazy and you don't know what to say. And we put all this pressure on ourselves, all this pressure. But we know that God will be with us in those moments, and he will give us the words, and he will give us the things to say. We have to remember that. All we need to do is share the hope that we have in the way that we can share it. And we have to trust in the Lord and take confidence in the Lord. In the early days when Yeshua ascended to heaven and the disciples were just starting out, the believers faced some very stressful situations. They were in a land that was not a sovereign land for Israel. The Romans controlled it. There was all these crucifixions going on. You know, crucifixion is like one of the worst forms of torture. It's amazing how brutal crucifixion is and was. But crucifixion was not just a one-time thing for Yeshua and those other two robbers, whatever, on either side of him. The Romans specifically used crucifixion thousands and thousands of times because it was one of the most brutal methods of torture and killing people. And it is sad because, you know, we think, oh, that was 2,000 years ago, or that was 1,000 years ago. But crucifixion goes on even today. I saw a report this week, that in Iraq, this ISIS group, this crazy ISIS group that's grown up in Iraq now and is taking vast areas and lands, they crucified like 8 Christians this week. I mean, that's crazy. That's terrible. So crucifixion is still going on. It was really bad back 2,000 years ago. And not only crucifixion, there was other things. The disciples had to worry about the Romans. Then they had to worry about other Jewish people too that didn't like what they were saying, or other, you know, Greek people too. They had a lot of pressure on them and a lot of stressful situations. Paul and Silas, two of the early believers, were put in prison. Believers were stoned. Remember Stephen in Acts, one of the early chapters of Acts. Stephen, who was one of the early Shamashim. They were. He was picked as one of the early Shamashim to do things in the new congregations. He was killed. He was stoned. So this is the kind of climate they were in, and they were trying to spread the word about Yeshua. So here is Yeshua's words to them and to us today, actually. Matthew 10, 18 through 20. Let's look at that scripture. Yeshua's words to us and to them back then. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them in the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So back then, they had to worry about literally being dragged before governors and kings. There's scriptures in the book of Acts where Paul is just dragged before the governor, and he's dragged into prison, and he's all this stuff, a lot of bad stuff happening. And Yeshua is saying here, for my sake, you're going to be dragged before governors and kings to bear witness. When they deliver you over, don't be anxious about what to speak. Why? Because you will be given what to say in that hour. So if it was good enough for them 2,000 years ago when things were really bad, how much more today, 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 years forward today, in today's world that we live in, where we don't have to worry about being dragged before governors, thank God, being dragged before kings, being thrown into prison for our beliefs here in America, how much more important it is for us to remember that we're going to be given the words to say when we go in front of people and speak. You know, some places in the world today, they have to worry about being thrown into prison. In China, you have to be careful Because if you share your faith too publicly, you're going to be thrown into prison or worse. There's Muslim countries today, like in Iraq, where you have to be careful because that's a major situation. Sharing your faith can get you killed. But here in America, I'm so thankful we live in America. We just celebrated Independence Day yesterday, our freedom. We have the freedom to get together in the synagogue today and talk about the Lord. We have the freedom to worship. We have that right. And I'm so thankful that we have that right. And how much more confident should we be when we go out there, knowing that we're not going to be thrown into prison, knowing that we're not going to be killed, to be able to share our faith? And remember, when we're put in those situations, even those small situations with somebody that doesn't want to hear us, where there's no danger of prison or death, God is going to give us what to say. Don't be anxious about our life, even in life or death situations, because we know the Lord's with us. And we know he's going to give us those things to say. And the last point I wanted to make today before we close is, whether we like it or not, we're already sharing our faith and we don't even realize it. We're already sharing our faith with people and shining for the Lord, whether we like it, know it, or not. And this is what's commonly referred to as lifestyle evangelism. People are watching you. If you're a believer, if you believe in the Lord, if you go to, you know, if you just mention something, I'm going to a Messianic synagogue or I'm going to a church or whatever, people know you're a believer and people are going to be watching you. You're sharing your faith through your lifestyle. If they know you're a believer, they're watching you. They want to know how you're going to react in situations. And sometimes they're going to test you in those situations. I'll never forget when I used to work at different firms. I'm an accountant by trade, and I used to work at different CPA firms. And man, I mean, you'd think these were nice accountants. You know, accountants are nice. Aren't they supposed to be nice people, pleasant people? Count beans all day. Everything's just pleasant. No, that wasn't how it was. Man, I was a believer, you know, and I was in a firm with who I considered friends and acquaintances. And man, I got not persecuted, but they would give me a hard time for my faith. And they would kind of rib me about it. Oh, yeah, let's see how you react in this situation. You know, people do that. Whether you're in a firm or whether you're in the grocery store or whether you're in your job or anywhere else, people are going to see who you are and they're going to want to know, maybe if I push this person a little bit, then they won't. Then they won't react, you know, in a godly way. This fake thing that they're putting on, they're not really a believer. I'm going to get them. But we're already sharing and we have to be careful because they want to see how we react in situations. They want to see if the faith that we have is just skin deep and if it's really a facade. It will destroy our witness if we talk the talk but don't walk the walk. And I'm telling you, it's going to be worse if you don't walk the walk. If you have a lot of talk, but then if you don't react well in situations, if you're cursing, you know, when they're not looking, but they really are listening, if you're not living a good life, but you're proclaiming it, it's going to give a conflicting message. It's worse than even if you hadn't even shared with them that you were a believer, because it's giving a bad picture in their mouth or in their mind of, and a bad taste in their mouth about how a believer is. We have to represent Yeshua or his witness. We have to be careful that we do the things we say. And again, this is not to get us all, oh, I got to be perfect and make sure I say everything right. And no, we're human. And that's part of our witness too, is that you can be messed up just like me and still have a relationship with the Lord and still have God love you. But it really will destroy your witness if you're not careful, because people are watching you. Even if they don't know you're a believer. You know, I've heard people say, and I believe it, there's something different about that person. I can't put my finger on it, but something is different about them. It's because they're a believer. They can see Yeshua inside of them. Even non-believers can see it. You know that non-believers can see the Lord inside of you. They don't know what it is, but they can sense something different. Are we shining in such a way with our lifestyle, not saying any words, but with our lifestyle, to where people are seeing the love of the Lord? People are seeing God through us, even if they don't know we're a believer. There's a great quote, and it's it's commonly attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi, and most of us in the West don't know who Saint Francis was, but he was in Italy. He was an Italian guy. I think it was hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But Saint Francis of Assisi did wonderful things for people, and he really loved the Lord. He had a great relationship with the Lord. And this quote has been attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi: "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words." You know, 95% of the time when we're sharing our faith, it's not with words. It's with our lifestyle. It's how people are seeing us reacting to situations. It's with helping somebody, going an extra mile and shaking somebody's hand and just saying hello to somebody. You know, I had the owner of CrossFit, where we have our kids' ministry is over here, and the owner of the CrossFit next door came over, shook my hand, and just said hello to me. And I could just thought to myself, and I didn't ask him, but I thought to myself, he's got to be a believer. He came up. He was just so friendly to me. He's, "Oh, I see you have a synagogue here. Just wanted to introduce myself." Now, I know here in Georgia, people are more friendly than where I'm from, because in Florida, everybody is from New York, and New Yorkers are not very friendly most of the time. So it's like, you know, Florida is like little New York. So that's where I grew up. And I'm not used to people coming up to me and just say, "Hey, how you doing? I just want to meet you and say hello." But there was something different about him. I could sense it. He didn't share his faith with me. He didn't say anything to me. But I just saw the love of the Lord. It was amazing. It was pretty awesome. So preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. I'm going to close today, and I want to just – this is something that happened this week is really powerful, and I want to share this because we're talking about sharing our faith. We're talking about being a witness in our life, and we're talking about using words, not using words, but sharing our faith with people. And I want to tell you a little story of something that happened this week. There was a young man that passed away this week with Jews for Jesus, and his name was Sean Trank. And Sean was one of the media directors of Jews for Jesus in San Francisco. And he was 28 years old, very young. And he died this week after a fight with lung cancer. He wasn't a smoker, and a lot of people that are not smokers get lung cancer. But I want to share this with you about Sean. And I didn't know him personally. A lot of people in the Messianic movement knew Sean and loved Sean. But he worked for Jews for Jesus, and he died this week. And there's what he did was he would develop the videos on YouTube. And if you go to the Jews for Jesus website, you can see some of the things that Sean Trank did. And he was out there sharing the gifts that he had for the Lord and to reach his Jewish people. He was a Jewish believer in Yeshua with Jews for Jesus. And he would develop these videos. And I want to read you a quote from a fellow rabbi of mine who did a really nice kind of eulogy for him online. He says, "I want to love Yeshua as much in my life as Sean Trank did in his death." Because when Sean was dying for the last several months, he had a blog on the internet, and he and his brother kind of like they tracked his progress online, and they would share with people as he was going through his fight with lung cancer. And it was very important because he never wavered in his faith, and he was always still shining the light of Yeshua. And you got to think to yourself, he is about to die, and he was getting better for a time, and then he took a turn for the worse, unfortunately, and he passed away this week. But I want to love Yeshua as much in my life as Sean did as he was dying. He never forgot the Lord. He shines so brightly. He's such an inspiration. You know, and it's always sad when somebody, especially somebody so young, so talented, dies, because you think, oh, there's so much they could have shared still in their life. But you know what? He shared so much. And God used him in the time that God had him on the earth to share the love of Yeshua with so many people and touch so many people in his short life. And I want to love Yeshua as much with my life as Sean did when he was dying, when he knew he was dying. He used his gifts to share his faith and to share the gospel. And that's what the Lord asks for every single one of us. Let his life be an encouragement to us to share our faith today and every day for the rest of our lives. Amen.